Welcome to Talking Stock. I'm your host, Doug Harvey, Director of the Institute for Faculty Development at Stockton University. Talking Stock is a space where colleagues can discuss teaching, scholarship, and service. In this episode, we are continuing our discussion of women in academia. And this week, our guest is...
I'm Kate Yang, an assistant professor of psychology. And I teach adolescent psychology at Stockton, experimental methods, or experimental psychology, and industrial and organizational psychology.
Great. Thanks for joining me. I just wanted to start by asking you, you're a fairly new faculty member here at Stockton. So can you share anything about your experience sort of starting out your career here and in general as a female professor, what that's been like?
Yeah, I would say overall very supportive. And I really appreciated that. You know, I think in terms of challenges, I would say it's all like in very ambiguous ways. And for example, in my very first day of teaching, I had a 6 p.m. class module at night. And right, 6 p.m. And I, you know, as soon as I walked into the classroom and was at the podium getting my stuff together, a student who was sitting in the classroom looked up and said, "Are you the professor? You look so young." And, you know, I don't necessarily know that that's related to gender, but I did suddenly feel like all sorts of nervous and questioning my level of preparation, my own competence. How did I get to be here? You know, wondering also now, are all of my students going to ask if I'm like a very, very fresh out of graduate school? Are they all going to wonder about my authority in the classroom? And also, because I'm also I was born in China and of East Asian descent. Of course, that also triggered the sort of stereotypes about Asians looking younger. Sure. And so it was just sort of kicked up a whole bunch of things. And as a social psychologist by training and my research, these are all things that I am kind of aware of that influence people's performance. And, you know, in that kind of innocent question, I would say, on the first day of class, for my first day as an assistant professor teaching, it was this fascinating sort of experience.
Sure. You talked a little bit about your research area. I know you research gender differences and depression and things like that. So have you learned anything from that, those studies that sort of apply to the idea of women in academia? Is there anything that you picked up?
Well, that there are gender differences in kind of interpretation of feedback. My research is on gender differences in depression, which particularly arise in the adolescent age. And, you know, a lot is going on during adolescence, and the research that we've reviewed in the past really points out that social expectations, differing social expectations, social roles, stereotypes about gender seem to account for more of the differences in, say, self-esteem that then we can relate to differences in vulnerability for developing depression. I researched this a little more specifically in looking at a gender difference in social hypersensitivity, which is a personality characteristic that Aaron Beck, who developed the cognitive theory of depression, proposed was one of the vulnerability factors for depression. So in our research, we find that women score higher on social hypersensitivity, which describes dependency on people wanting to maintain positive relationships, going out of your way to please others, feeling overly concerned about how you're being perceived, how other people view you, and that there is a demonstrated gender difference in the degree of social hypersensitivity. There's also a relationship between social hypersensitivity and likelihood of developing depression. So that part of the sort of hypothesis about social hypersensitivity and depression has been supported. We're now looking at that as a potential explanatory factor for why there might be a gender difference in depression as well. Now, in terms of the workplace, you know, I mean, I guess it could relate to issues such as receiving performance reviews and feedback, right? Then this is all very, I would say it's, I don't have empirical evidence, right? Like, I don't have a direct evidence. I'm just kind of speculating that it could be related to issues where, or situations where you feel like you're on the spot, where mm-hmm. you're receiving that feedback, how one interprets it, how one interprets ambiguous information. And my research has been found to relate to people's level of social hypersensitivity. In my preparation for classes and kind of the things that I teach in my industrial and organizational psych class, I do have evidence or I have there are articles that I teach on. One of them is Farrell and Finkelstein 2007. Another one is Heilman and Chen 2005 that show that organizational citizenship behaviors, which are defined as going out of your way to be helpful, altruistic, going above and beyond what's expected, that there are differences in expectations for men and women on the job. That women, people expect women to actually demonstrate more of these altruistic behaviors compared to men. I think the Heilman and Chen article actually manipulates the gender of the person who's doing the OCB, the organizational citizenship behavior, and participants that give a job evaluation based on those descriptions of behavior tend to give the men higher ratings compared to women, even though they're the same exact behavior, just the gender in the name has been switched.
Which is similar to what we see in the faculty evaluation data.
Really?
Right, which is there's the tendency to rate female professors lower when they don't show. I was talking about this with Sarah Martino and Jesse Finch earlier, and that's exactly what you see. You see a difference in the belief or the expectation of female professors to be more nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then so it's coming from the other side as well. It sounds like
right.
It might be. So that's an interesting finding then to bring up in here. So. In this topic of women in academia, how do you deal with that then? Like, what sort of advice would you give to faculty sort of going through these sorts of things in their workplace?
Mm-hmm. That's hard, I guess, for me to answer since I don't necessarily know that I've already mastered the strategies. I would love to know the answer to that question. And I actually think that perhaps the Women in Academia Conference tries to get at the pragmatic kind of strategy based thing of how do you resolve these issues. So I wish I had the answer there, but I would say maybe that we keep digging. We keep trying to figure out, okay, when you mentioned that women tend to have lower teaching evaluations and it could be due to expectations for nurturance, is it something where, we need to, do we need to educate students more about how there's a demonstrated difference in expectations for communality or agency for men versus women, right? Independence mm-hmm. versus interdependence or being nurturing versus, that these exist out there, that sure. we can shine a light on them. But I don't know if I know the answer.
No, well, obviously you go through this. Yeah. I mean, you're experiencing this. We had talked a little bit before we started about your pathway and about the value of mentorship for you. Did you want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. Actually, yeah. And mentorship itself might also be a really great strategy for that, mm-hmm. For cultivating, I think, supportive relationships and leadership. So yeah, I became interested in issues of women in academia, I think in part because my graduate advisor, Joan Gerges, at Princeton University, was herself a trailblazer. She was the dean of the college in the 70s and 80s, and she spent a very significant portion of her academic career speaking out about differences in expectations for women faculty versus men who are faculty. She still, I think to this day, works on kind of dual career issues. And with the kind of operating from the perspective that that supporting families and especially supporting parental leave, supporting families and partners of academics helps to also support mm-hmm. productive, successful scholarly work. I know, yeah, it's a great idea. So, I think I was very inspired by her mentorship and her work in these areas. And I guess that is perhaps another bit of advice, right? Like in moving forward as an institution, what can we do to improve kind of like living situations, mm-hmm. family kind of situations for faculty who, may be coming to Stockton with an academic partner, right? So what can we do for parental leave that can maybe relieve some of the burden that women feel to kind of support their families outside of the work environment?
Mm-hmm. Right. Also very important. Okay. What advice would you give to somebody who's, say, starting out? I mean, just from your experience as a new faculty member, if somebody came to you and asked, how do you get started? What are the things you want to look out for mm-hmm. as far as starting out as a female professor? What would you say?
Yeah, speaking as someone who's still figuring it out, I would say just keep talking to people, find out more. Like I think I'm still in also like an information gathering point, mm-hmm. and so hearing about other people's experiences. I think what the WIA conference did to help me with that is to realize that I wasn't the only one having some of these experiences. So I think it counters the imposter syndrome where one feels like that I don't belong. That if I'm wondering in that very first day in the classroom what people think of me and whether or not I'm too young or appear too young to be a person of authority in this room, that's not just something that I experience, that other faculty experience as well, and that it kind of normalizes it a little bit, or it feels more validating. It feels more like this is a challenge that you can overcome. Seeking out more information about how others have addressed it. So, like, has it been mentorship that's been particularly helpful? And if so, how do you cultivate a productive mm-hmm. Mentorship relationship?
Great. This is the Stock Tips portion of my show, of the show, where we share resources to listeners about whatever the topic is of the episodes. You spoke about the WIA or WIA conference, Women in Academia. Do you want to talk a little bit about that as a possible resource for people that are for female professors who are going through this?
Yeah, I would say it's a great resource for sharing one's experience of challenges, for hearing, right, like information gathering, for hearing what others have experienced as well, and how women have worked through that. And I'd say it's also really great because it is open, and we absolutely make an effort to invite institutions in the area. So it's really a regional conversation about women in academia. I think it's also a forum where you can hear not only faculty perspectives, but through breakout sessions and through kind of networking time, perspectives from staff in academia, perspectives from administration, from graduate students, right? So in all different levels, not just for current faculty members, but for all different levels of, or in all different sorts of areas areas of academia, that's a very useful conference to be exposed to different perspectives.
I'll make sure I have links for that in the show notes. Kate, I'd like to thank you for joining me today and spending some time to talk about this important topic.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Talking Stock is a podcast produced by me, Doug Harvey, for the Institute for Faculty Development at Stockton University. Visit our website, www.stockton.edu/IFD, where you can find a link to show notes and transcripts for every episode. The music for Talking Stock is provided by the Organic Music Library, www.organicmusiclibrary.com. Thank you for listening.